people arrived at the pearly gates at the same time. And St. Peter came and told them he had some pressing business and would they please wait. He was gone a long time, and when he came back, he asked one of the new arrivals in and asked if she had minded waiting. "Oh no," she said, "I have looked forward to this for so long. I love God and I can't wait to meet Jesus. I don't mind at all." St. Peter then said, "Well, I have one more question. How do you spell God?" "G-O-D," came the reply. "Go on in," Peter instructed. He called the second arrival in and asked him, did you mind waiting? And the man said, "Oh no, I've been a Christian for 50 years and I'll spend eternity here. I didn't mind waiting." So St. Peter said, "Just one more thing. How do you spell God?" "G-O-D," came the reply. And St. Peter said that was good and sent him on into heaven. St. Peter called the third person in and asked if they had minded waiting. "Well, as a matter of fact, I did," they replied. St. Peter's eyebrows were raised. "Really?" he said. "Yes," the person replied. "I've had to queue all my life. At the supermarket, at the bus stop, at the cinema, everywhere. And I've done it because that's what you do. It's the right thing to do. Obey the rules. And now, having done the right thing all my life, I resent having to queue to get into heaven." So Peter calmly replied, "Well, that's all right for you to feel that way. We won't hold it against you. But there's just one more question. How do you spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?" This person had obeyed the rules, and yet they stumbled at the finishing line. So what was the problem? What were they missing? Hang on to that question. Our Bible reading this morning, again, a long one, and I'm very grateful to Karen for reading it so beautifully, is a story about a healing, an investigation, and a judgment. The story of a blind man's sight being restored, the Pharisees investigate, and Jesus comes and judges. Let's start with the healing. It is a miracle. A man born blind has his sight restored and his life is transformed. It was an extraordinary miracle. You would have thought it should have been the cause for celebration. But instead, the poor man found people not recognizing him. His parents seemed to be in fear of the Pharisees. Ah, but of course, the rules had been broken. The healing had taken place on the Sabbath. Oops. The Pharisees are angry because rules have been broken, and so they investigate. A life has been restored, and they choose to investigate. Who had the audacity to heal on a Sabbath? And under whose authority did the healing take place if done on the Sabbath? It can't have been God's authority. The healed man tells them that it was a prophet. And not content with his testimony, the Pharisees then call for his parents. And they seem reticent to share any knowledge of what has happened and how it happened. "Ask him. He's old enough and he can answer for himself." The healed man's parents are afraid of losing their place in the synagogue and the community. And so the Pharisees grill the healed man again. It's all starting to get a little bit farcical. And there's a hint of sarcasm in the healed man when he answers, "I have already told you, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Maybe you too would like to be his disciples." The Pharisees are getting angry, and they refuse to accept that Jesus was of God. The healed man, in turn, cuts through their questioning and states the obvious. "What a strange thing that is. You do not know where he comes from, but he cured me of my blindness. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He does listen to people who respect him and who do what he wants them to do. Since the beginning of the world, nobody has ever heard of anyone giving sight to a blind person born blind. Unless this man came from God, he would not be able to do this thing. The blind man had his sight. It is now the Pharisees that appear to be blind. Having lost the argument, the Pharisees do what sore losers do, and they turf the poor man out of the synagogue. And then comes Jesus' judgment. On hearing what happens, he speaks to the healed man and reassures him. He then turns on the Pharisees. They are the blind ones. They were blind to who Jesus was. They were blind to what God was doing in their midst. And they let their own petty interests and experiences blind them to the real blessing God had in store for them. They weren't bad people. They were simply locked into a certain way of thinking about life and about God. They couldn't or wouldn't see the bigger picture. Their way of living was tied up in rules and regulations. Their way of worshipping God was tied up in rules and regulations. Rules were being broken and they were blinded to who Jesus was. Their safety net, their rules were being cast overboard and they were rattled. Blind to Jesus, they took refuge in their rule book, the rule book Jesus came to rewrite because it needed rewritten. The Pharisees had used rules to control people, and you might have some sympathy for them. The Jewish people lived in an occupied land, and there was an uneasy peace between the Roman rulers and the Jewish people. And so the Pharisees didn't want this peace broken. They liked things just as they were. And along comes Jesus, teaching a new way, and they weren't having it. So blinded by their rule book, they failed to see that Jesus' way was the right way. They failed to see that God was more interested in the heart than he is in the rule book. Jesus gave a man his life back by restoring his sight. A man who had spent his years begging because it was the only thing he could do, could now play a full role in his family and in the community. But rather than seeing a restored human being, the Pharisees saw rules that had been broken. If only they could have opened not just their eyes, but their hearts as well, then they might have seen what had happened and the transformation that had taken place. I want to rewind a wee bit to the part of the story where the healed man's neighbours didn't recognise him. It occurs to me that we too are often blind to people we don't want to bother with. This man would have got up every day and probably gone to the same spot every day to beg. His neighbours would have been used to seeing him do this, but he was so inconsequential to their lives that they really didn't know what he looked like or even cared. This man lived in plain sight of his neighbours, and they had no idea what he looked like. I wonder if we can be guilty of that too. Ignoring those whose lives mean nothing to us, or worse still, blocking them out and refusing to look in case we end up involved in their lives. The blind man in our story catches the light that is God's love shown to him in Jesus. The light that is spoken about in the opening verses of John's Gospel is seen by him for the first time. The light has overcome his darkness. There's a story about a beggar who was sitting across the street from an artist's studio. The artist saw him and thought to himself, what an interesting portrait study he would make. And so he painted the beggar. He painted the defeated man with his drooped shoulders, his downcast and sad eyes. And when he finished, he took the portrait over to the beggar to show it to him. Who is that? The beggar asked. The painting bore a slight resemblance to himself, he thought, but in the painting he saw a man with dignity, with squared shoulders and bright uplifted eyes, almost handsome. Is that me? I don't look like that, And the artist replied, "That is the person I see in you." What a shame the Pharisees didn't do the same thing. Instead of seeing broken rules, a supposed sin, what a pity they didn't see the life restored and share the joy of the man in front of their eyes. The God they worship through their rules doesn't see people through a rule book. He sees people and reads their hearts instead. God doesn't see us as everyone else sees us. People around us may see us and make a judgment. They look cool. Wow. They're successful. Oh dear, they don't look very attractive. Gosh, I wish I was as popular as them. All these judgments that we make, none of that matters to God. God sees in our heart. He sees who we really are. People sometimes wish they could fool him, like those we have fooled into thinking that maybe we are a bit more confident than we really are, or more content with our lot than we really are. We have more than them. All the things that we try to fool people into believing. On the flip side, perhaps we are deeply grateful that God sees through the negative, shallow judgments that others make of us. Maybe it's a bit of both. The healed man in our Bible story was delighted. He didn't care if his cure wasn't approved of by the Pharisees. Through Jesus, he was restored and he felt loved. His life was transformed. He was blind, but now could see. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace that we just sang, John was a man whose life was transformed by finding Jesus in his life. He put aside his former life as a captain of a slave ship and became a follower of Christ and went on to be ordained by the Church of England. Not so much physically blind, but spiritually blind. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Jesus wants our eyes open. He wants us to see the great truth of his love for us. He doesn't want us tied up in knots over man-made rules and regulations, traditions and I-beams. He doesn't want us to be blind to those in our midst who need our help and our support. He doesn't want us to be blind to the pollution of the world, the bitterness and the hatred of others towards those who are different, and oh well, the list could go on and on. He doesn't want us to use religion like the Pharisees did to control people for fear that their religious orderliness might be disturbed. And he certainly doesn't want us to be like the third person at the pearly gates. Remember them? Demanding the right of entry because they'd done all the right things. What Jesus wants us to do is to open the eyes of those we meet to the reality of God's love for all. He wants us to live lives that say and do the right things because of what's in here, in our hearts, not for what we might get out of it. He wants us to be the ones to be the light that shines in the darkness of our world. Amen.